I too want to take a chance, take the chance to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And you know, you don't have to be a mom to celebrate Mother's Day, because if you're not a mom, you had one. Anybody in here not have a mom? And you know, our earthly moms, some of them were really good, maybe some of them weren't really good, but we serve a God who is both a father and a mother to us. And he is gracious and kind. So let's stand this morning and worship. I hope you're glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison door, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There is joy in the house of the Lord, there is joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, we shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord, our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet, we shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals, we sing to the God who saves, we sing to the God who always makes a way. Because he hung upon that cross and he rose up from the grave, my God, still rolling stones away. There is joy in the house of the Lord, there is joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. Praise your name, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. Oh, glory to your name. We shout out your praise today, Lord. high and lifted up. Glory to your name. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have a new song we'd like to share with you today. It's a very simple title. It's called Bless God. You know, we want God to bless us. But, you know, you're supposed to bless God. And you can be a blessing to God, but you can lift up His name. And that's what we're called to do. We may want God to bless us, but take that moment and bless Him. Blessed are those who run to Him, place their hope and confidence in Jesus. He won't forsake them. Blessed are those who seek His face, bend their knee and fix their gaze on Jesus. They won't be shaken. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love His name. And lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all praise. Let's sing that chorus again. Come on and praise. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love His name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Blessed are those who walk with Him, hearts are set on pilgrimage with Jesus. They'll see His glory. Blessed are those who die to live, whose joy it is to give it all to Jesus. And for Him only, oh Jesus, all for Your glory. Praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love His name. And lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Come on and bring darkest valley, every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God with the praise that costs me. Bless God when nobody's watching, every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when it's warming. Bless God when the bless God when before me, every chance I get, I bless your name. Those declarations were so good. Can we go back and sing those again? Bless God in the sanctuary. Bless God in the sanctuary. Bless God in the fields of plenty. Bless God in the darkest valley. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God with the praise that costs me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when the weapon's forming. Bless God when the walls are falling. Bless God because he goes before me. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God for he holds the victory. Bless God for he's always with me. Bless God for he's always worthy. Every chance I get, I praise your name. Every chance I get, I praise your name.
Jesus. Of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. Who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far. Because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, who I am, it's who I am. Oh my God. Oh, you're good, Lord, you're good, Lord. Oh, da ba pa. Oh, we praise your name, praise your name. Oh, you're good, you're good, you're good, Lord. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And is Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those He loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again? To break the seal and open the scroll, the Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave from every people and tribe, every nation and tongue. He has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Is He worthy of this?
Father, we thank You. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are good. You are good. You are worthy. Oh, God, we give You the glory today. Oh, Jesus, holy and anointed one, we bless Your name. We bless Your name today. Oh, God, our God. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory to Your name. Thank You, Lord. You may be seated. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, is He worthy? Oh, is He worthy? Oh, God, You're worthy. Oh, we give You glory and honor today. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise Your name. Oh, He is worthy.
Oh, he's worthy on our best day. He's worthy on our worst day. He's worthy all the time. Oh, we bless you, Father, day and night. Oh, we give you glory, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Do we have any testimonies today? I know we had one because you already shared it with me. You let the cat out of the bag, but I want everybody to hear it. Wow, that's really loud.
I've been having problems for several months with my vision being cloudy. It would come and go, and then lately it's been all the time. Well, I was prayed for yesterday at our women's brunch yesterday, and the cloudiness is completely gone in my eyes.
Amen. We serve a God who heals. Wow.
I don't know if this is a testimony or not, but yesterday we had the ladies' brunch, and we all wore hats. And it was Mother's Day today, so Denise says, if you want to wear them, wear your hat. Well, I said, okay, I'll wear my hat. But the thing is, today is Mother's Day. My children are all gone. They've all passed on. But we here are a church family. And I love each and every one of you. And happy Mother's Day. Now, when it comes next month for Father's Day, I'll wish you all a Father's Day. But this time, it's all, and I mean it. You are all my children. I don't know, there may be some older than me, but you're all my children. I think a lot of you, you are my church family, because you're always there for us. The Lord comes in here and everything, so hang in there, guys.
Well, Judy, my mom's gone to glory, but you can be my mom.
Good morning, church family. I just wanted to thank everybody for the beautiful flowers that the church sent for my father's funeral on last Tuesday. And happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. And thank you.
Amen. Okay, go ahead.
I was sitting here this morning and Pastor Dave came in. He looked at me and said, what have you been sitting here all night? I said, no. I said, I drank too much yesterday and they just left me.
Oh, goodness. Anyone else? Oh. She's kidding. There wasn't any drinking at the ladies'. Well, maybe they might have had punch. I don't know.
I could not find my purse one day, and I looked all through my house, and I couldn't find it. And it's a pretty big purse. I have it here somewhere. But anyway, I was so sure that it must have been stolen out of my car. I don't know why I got that idea, because once in a while I leave my purse in my car, and I don't lock my car. I'm not very good at that. So I'm thinking somebody stole my purse. So I went to the police, and I told them that I'd lost my purse, and they signed a piece of paper that said I could get another license and all this stuff. And I was driving out of my driveway to go to the DMV to get another license, and a voice in my ear said, look on your purse, look on your porch. And there was my purse right at my porch. I was at the bottom of the driveway, right, ready to pull out. And I'd even looked at my porch before, but I have a lounge with a pad on it, and slipped down and covered my purse that I had it by my chair. And I just started laughing because I said, this is the goodness of the Lord. And I just think that's wonderful that he did that for me and that he does all those little things for us, and we're not even expecting it. So thank you, Lord.
My favorite part of that testimony was that how God spoke to you.
Yeah.
He told you where it was.
Yeah.
I had the Lord do that once for my daughter. We were hunting everywhere for, I can't remember what it was that she lost. But we couldn't find it. We hunted and we hunted that house. And we prayed. And I just looked at her and I said, well, we're going to pray that the Lord helps you to find this. We're going to pray. And she went into her bedroom sad, and I closed the door. I took hold of the knob, and I closed the door. And we went to bed. And in the morning, she woke up, and there was this thing, I wish I could remember what it was, hanging on her doorknob. It was not there the night before. I closed the door. It wasn't there. But God, you know, God, I think God placed it there. Just, isn't He good? Oh, and that was such a testimony to my daughter. She saw the goodness of God right there. Okay, Kevin.
I got one too. Yesterday, I went to the store to a Family Dollar and got us a few treats. And I got up to the register and I reached over to my pocket and I'm like, uh-oh. So I told the girl, I said, I can't find my wallet. So I went through and I looked on the aisles and backtracked, right? Went out to the car, because you know how hard it is to get all the identities and all that stuff around. And it was laying on the floor in the car. So I was very grateful.
I guess this is the week of finding things. Oh. Yes, amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Pastor?
Yes. All right.
Lord keeps putting this in my mind.
Good.
This happened years ago. We were one of our ladies' conferences in, it was near Buffalo, at one of the camp things we used to go, Franklinville. And I was coming out, and I was in with all the ladies. Well, I don't know. There wasn't very many ladies around. But I looked at my hand, and my diamond was gone in my ring. And I'm like, oh, my word. And this is another thing. God is so good. He said, open your luggage. Open my luggage. So my luggage was laying on the bed or on the cot or whatever. So I unzipped it. I opened it up. And the diamond was right there in the middle of my clothes and the luggage. But God is so good. But that was a long time ago, so I didn't need to think about that.
Amen. Brother Armenio.
Yeah, it's been 10 months now since I misplaced my wife and two daughters.
Oops. Oops.
And I've been looking for them all over Oklahoma, and I knew they were with me at some point. But God said, go back to Wellsville, and I came back, and there they were. So it's just like a miracle. So I just want to thank God for 10 months that He has protected my wife and my children, and He has been faithful even when I could not be here. He was here, and you guys were here, and Pastor was here, and God is good all the time, and Kuka has, Audrey, Elizabeth has reminded me several times, now, Daddy, you're not leaving again, are you? I said, no, I'm not. No, we're staying together now. Oh, good, because I don't want you to leave again. So God is good. I just want to thank God for guarding and protecting my wife and my children. And what a blessing to be again here with all of you.
Amen. Amen. Well, is there anybody that hasn't testified?
Yes.
The doggy update. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, I told y'all last week about my dog and his situation. But anyways, he's like in 20-some-odd years old, 25, maybe 26. I don't even know. Forever. Okay, but anyways, he started to be better, and then I went to work Monday, and I came home, and he was kind of in a funk. And you could still hear his heart beating. And then Tuesday, I had to go to work. When I woke up, he was still beating a lot. And I thought, oh, man, he might really be at the end of it. Did I hear it right? Is God telling me he's going to be okay or things are going to be okay and that I'm going to lose my dog and I'll get over it? I don't know. So I went to work, and I was afraid the whole day. So I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed the whole day at work because I felt grief from not being around my dog. If he's going to pass, I want to be there. So I told the Lord, just please bring his heart rate down. I'm really worried about him. Well, I came home, and I was about to open the door, and I didn't know if I was open up to find a dead dog or a dying dog. And just then, as I was about to open the door, God told me to lift my spirits up and be of good cheer. And I said, okay. I opened the door, and out he ran with Molly, and he jumped off the porch and ran through the yard, and he was fine. So God is good. He was merciful to me and my dog.
Amen. Amen. The doggy update. All right. All right. If you're here, mothers, and you didn't get your little gift, make sure you get it. Yeah, from the basket in the back. And all right. That's probably our Kathy or Luann, one of you. Kathy Dunham. Yeah, she's a, I think she might be in with children today. I think she's got children today. My wife took the opportunity and drove out to see her mom yesterday. And it is such a blessing now to go and visit my mother-in-law. And if you don't know why, I'm not going into it. But it's a great blessing now as opposed to what it was last year and the many years before. So God really worked something wonderful there. And my wife said, wow, I am actually looking forward to going and seeing my mom. That is a victory. Glory to God. That is a victory. So, okay. Well, we've been talking about worship, and the next part that I'd like to look to in worship is, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to give you a little history lesson. And I have a lot of scriptures, and I'm really hoping that this PowerPoint's going to work today. It didn't work very well last week, but I'm hoping that it's going to. And Adam, you might have to, I think that you might have an issue getting it to come up on that other screen. So our technology is still a work in progress. Okay, you'll have to, this is not working, so. Hey, there we go. All right. Yay. Praise God. So we'll just sit there for a minute. We talked last week about how God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. I am really ringing here. I'm going to put myself down a little bit. You can pray that God brings us some people that can run technology so that I don't have to run back and forth and do this. If you have that burden, start praying now. But upon the Exodus from Egypt, God gave Moses a whole plan for worship that consisted of a tabernacle that they carried around with them in the desert and a whole sacrificial system. Huge. If you read the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you read all about all of the laws that God gave them for making atonement for themselves and that whole sacrificial system. And at the time, worship consisted of blood and grain offerings. That was their worship. And this continued through the time of Joshua and the judges of Israel. But then a shift happened. And the Israelites began to demand a king. We want a king. And Samuel, the prophet, was one of the last judges. If you read through the book of Joshua and the book of Judges, they didn't have kings, but they had people who judged, who were people who brought order to Israel, helped lead them to their victories against their enemies, helped deliver them. And Samuel was the last of those great judges. And he judged Israel for 40 years. But then we come to 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 8. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. Look, they said, you are old, and your sons, that Samuel had appointed his sons to be judges in his place. He said, your sons do not walk in your ways.
They were accepting bribes, and they weren't good guys. Now appoint a king to judge us like all the other nations. But when they said, give us a king to judge us, their demand was displeasing in the sight of Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for it is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me from being their king. Just as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. And if we look down at verse 19, Samuel is kind of arguing with the people about it, and they say, nevertheless, the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we must have a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to judge us, to go out before us, and to fight our battles. Do you hear the little, extra little problem in that? Then we will be like all the other nations. Isn't that the work of the flesh? The flesh, this thing in us that somehow wants to be like everybody else, wants to enjoy the things of the world, wants to get out into there. And it's always, always a problem. It's a problem every time we step outside of God's plan and what he's doing and into the world, then we're going to have a problem. And they had a problem. So the people rejected God as their king, and they wanted to be like everybody else. So who was going to be Israel's first king? Well, there was an obvious choice. Seemed obvious to everybody. 1 Samuel 9, go ahead, Adam. 1 Samuel 9, 1 and 2. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechoreth, son of Aphia, son of a Benjamite, a valiant, mighty man. He had a son whose name was Saul, a young and handsome man. There was not a more handsome man than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the other people. Well, there we got it. Saul, notice Saul embodied all of the qualities that the people were looking for in a leader. It says he was handsome twice. The guy must have been a really good-looking guy. He came from a wealthy family. He was skilled in combat, and he was really tall, head and shoulders above everybody else. Yeah, that's the guy that we want. From all outward appearances, he was the best choice. Hey, this guy looks like a king. Yeah, he's the one we want. And the reason the people loved Saul was the reason why God ultimately rejected him. He didn't stay there. The people said, oh, you've got it. You've got what it takes. You've got all the leadership skills. And I think Saul said, yeah, I do. I got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he became incredibly arrogant. And I think he continued to think he could expand the kingdom of Israel, but by his own hand, by what he could do, by what he was able to do. And he even tried to manipulate the priesthood for his own gain to win a battle. And we're going to look at that. Pastor Dave, what does this have to do with worship? Yeah, hang with me. You'll find out. 1 Samuel 13:8 and 9, the Amorites are coming, and Saul is supposed to meet Samuel, and Samuel was both a prophet and a priest. And he was going to come and present the offering. And Saul waited 7 days, 1 Samuel 13, 7 days for the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the troops began to desert Saul. So what does Saul do? Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered up the burnt offering. No! No, no, no. Saul was king, but he was not a priest. He was not supposed to offer up that offering. That was not his place. That was not God's plan. But he reached in and did it anyway because he was the big king. He was the important man. He was the one that could make it happen. And Samuel comes back and he says, "What have you done?" Samuel asked. And Saul replied, "When I saw that the troops were deserting me and that you did not come at the appointed time and the Philistines were gathering at Michmash," you can go on, "I thought, now the Philistines will descend upon me at Gilgal and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You have acted foolishly," Samuel declared. "You have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. If you had, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time." Oh boy. Verse 14, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler over his people because you have not kept the command of the Lord." Saul, well, God rejected Saul because of his pride and his abuse of the priestly ministry. And from the moment he lost the kingdom, it says here that God began to seek out a man after his own heart. And what that tells us was Saul looked like a king, but he did not have a heart that was after God. He did not have it. And then later, Saul disobeys God again out of fear and was further rejected. 1 Samuel 15. "Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, 'I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned away from following me and not carried out my instructions.'" They were to go and wipe out the enemy, kill the king, destroy everything. And Saul didn't do it. Saul wiped out all the people, saved the king. King Agag brought him back, and he kept all of the livestock. And he said, "Oh, well, we kept the livestock so that we could offer it to God. We'll make it an offering." The sin of Cain. Here it comes again. Faulty worship. "Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, 'I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned away from following me and has not carried out my instructions.' Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned. I have transgressed the Lord's commandment and your instructions because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.'" He listened to the people. And Samuel said to him, "Is the Lord delighted with burnt offerings?" He said, "To obey is better than sacrifice." It was better. But Saul was willing again to offer up that faulty worship. And if you remember the time that we spent looking at Cain, it's the same thing. The offering up what you can do, the works of your hands, but not according to what God has told you, not in obedience to his word. And God had already found another man, but very different than Saul. Very, very different. He was around 14 years old, believe it or not, and he possessed none of the qualities that everybody saw in Saul. None of the qualities that the people were looking for. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. "When they arrived, Samuel, the Lord has told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse, and that he was going to choose someone in the house of Jesse to be the next king in place of Saul. And when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab," which was Jesse's firstborn. He said, "Here's Eliab, the oldest, the biggest, the tallest, you know." And he said, "Surely here before the Lord is his anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or height. Remember the last one? For the Lord does not see as man does. For man sees the outward appearance, but the Lord sees the heart. And God was looking at the heart. His father left David out in the field when Samuel came to inspect Jesse's sons. And they brought Eliab through. Nope, he's not the one. And so he made his next son pass by. Nope, not him either. He made the next one pass, and Samuel said, no, not him either. All these sons kept going by. And finally, Samuel looks at Jesse and says, don't you have any other sons? You got anybody else? And he says, well, yeah, there's one more, but he's out on the hillside. He's tending the sheep. He's not important. And Samuel says, we're not going to sit down until you bring him in here. So he didn't have any of those qualities. Jesse left David out because he was the youngest. He was irrelevant. He had nothing to offer. Nobody thought he would be king. He was a shepherd, and he was a harpist. He's a musician. You know, us musicians, Armenia, we don't have anything to offer, right? Right, Randy? Yeah. Yeah. So, how was he going to be king? But it says God looks at the heart. David didn't possess any of the qualities the nations were looking for in a leader, but he possessed one quality that God was looking for, and that was worship. David was a worshiper. His heart was fully turned to God. When God looks for people to give an assignment to, God doesn't need your skills. He doesn't need your personality. What gets God's attention is worship. What's going on in here? What's going on inside the heart? That's what it is. And why is that? Because when God uses somebody in a mighty way who's a worshiper, who gets the glory? God does. God gets it. It's not the person, because they're a worshiper. They understand. David had all kinds of victories, and look at the book of Psalms that he writes. He gives the glory to God. It all goes back to him. And what was David's heart? What was it that David really wanted? Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord. This is what I desire. And I think David's saying, okay, number one, I got of all my list of stuff, number one, this is what I want from God. Now, if you were going to ask God for whatever, I don't know, I'm off the top of my head, what would be my first thing? I can think of a lot of things I would ask God for, but David says, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This is all that David really wanted. Wow. 20 years later, and Saul had died, and David had reigned over Judah and Hebron for 7 years, and all the tribes came back and said, okay, we want to make you king over all Israel. He'd been reigning in Hebron. Israel didn't have a king, and they said, we want you to be our king. And so David becomes king once again over all of Israel. But what did he do first? What was his first royal act? He calls all the people together to worship. First Chronicles 13:2, right away, day number one, 1 Chronicles 13, 2 and 3. And he said to the whole assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if this is of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our brothers in all the land of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites in their cities and pasture lands, so that they may join us. Let us Then let us bring back the ark of our God, for we did not inquire of him in the days of Saul. Uh-oh. So here's what happened. Saul didn't see any need to seek God. In the end, he was seeking a spiritist. You know, he was chasing after a medium of all things. And the Levites and the priests who were serving there, Saul didn't have much use for them. Lots of them left because they had their livelihood from the temple and from the offerings. They had to go back to their fields and they had to work. And David said, no, bring back the priests and the Levites in their cities from their pasture lands so that they can join us and so that they can start to do what they're supposed to do again. And then what does he say? Bring back the ark of God. His next act, this next act, bringing back the ark, is even more important. David decided that day one, before he went into his own house, he was going to get back the ark of God's presence. David was determined that the presence of God would be at the center of all that they were going to do from that day forward. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, if you've read at all through the books of Moses, you know that that Ark had a mercy seat where the presence of God came. And we say that's kind of like, at that time, that was the convergence of heaven and earth. That was where the presence of God manifested itself. And David's first act was, let's get everybody back and we're going to bring the presence of God back into Israel. Psalm 132, 3 through 7. I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes nor slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. We heard that the ark was in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jair. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Saul didn't even have the ark there. He left it out in a field. He left the ark of God's presence out in a field somewhere. And David said, no, we're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back into Israel. The ark was the throne. The ark was the throne on which the glory of God manifested on earth. It should have been in the tabernacle, but Saul in his pride said, well, you know, I don't need that throne. I have my own. I can do what I want to. So he left it out in a field. But David went and got it, and he didn't just want his throne. He wanted God's throne to be there. 1 Chronicles 15:1. I told you I was going to give our new system a workout, Tom. I think it's going pretty... Are you finding it easy to read? Yes. I'm finding it... Yes. Glory to God. 1 Chronicles 15:1. David constructed buildings for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Very, very interesting. David prepared a place for the ark and set up a special tent for it right there in Israel. And he set singers and musicians all around the ark 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They were there full time. 1 Chronicles 9:33, those who were musicians, the heads of Levi families, stayed in the temple chambers and were exempt from other duties because they were on duty day and night. They had shifts where they were constant worship, constant praise, continually worshiping God. David chose 24 families led by the elders of those families to minister to the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 25, 6 and 7, we won't look there, but he appointed 288 singers. What a choir! What a choir! But it was a shadow of what it's like in heaven. I believe David had a revelation of what worship was like in heaven. You know, by the end of David's life in 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5, it says they had 4,000 musicians. 4,000 musicians that rotated, and so that they were continually worshiping God on all of their instruments. 4,000. Every time I read that, I just can't imagine. I try to imagine. Can you imagine directing an orchestra of 4,000 people, Arminio? How would you do that? How tall would your podium have to be? Of course, they weren't all there at the same time, but what a thing. And it said the teacher and student alike shared the lot. It wasn't about who was the best musician. It was about a heart to worship. You didn't have to be the teacher and the student. They all took their lots. They drew the lots together for who was going to go and worship at a particular time. Didn't have to do with skill. It had to do with a worshiper's heart. That was the thing. And David, he really had a revelation from heaven. He said, and when he was preparing for Solomon's temple, he said, I have made a plan, and God, by his Spirit, revealed it to me, showed me what it was. But you know that this whole thing with the 24 elders and all of these worshipers and singers, that's not the only place we hear about that. Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, verse 4 first. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and on these thrones sat 24 elders, dressed in white with golden crowns on their heads. And each of the four living creatures had 6 wings and was covered with eyes all around and within. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is, and who is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and came to be." David had a revelation of what worship was going to be like in heaven. And he modeled his worship. It's theologically we call it Davidic worship. But David recognized that his authority did not come because he was great politically. It wasn't because he was a great politician. His confidence in battle did not come because he was such a mighty warrior. Yeah, he was a mighty warrior, but why was he a mighty warrior? It was because his power and authority was placed in God's throne. How else do you defeat a giant, big, ugly Goliath out there, big, old, ugly, hairy Philistine, you know, taunting, you know, and little teeny David? He's a little kid. And he can't even wear Saul's armor, so he runs out with his stone. How does he defeat him? Was it because he was trained in military combat? No. He just looked and he said, "God's going to give me your carcass, and I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air because you've defied the living God." Wow. That was the voice of worship coming out of him in the face of the enemy. And when we worship, what happens to our enemies? We're going to look at that next week. We're going to talk about revival too. Oh, there's just so much, so rich that we could get into it. But David's authority, his military victories, all of his power, his military prowess, all of that was all based in God's throne in Israel, the convergence point of heaven and earth. That's where it happened. Worship brings the manifest presence of God. Worship brings victory over our enemies. So I want to ask you, is there a throne in your personal Jerusalem for the God of heaven? Is your life praise, is my life, are we praising him 24/7? Oh boy. And I'm not talking about some kind of legalistic thing where you have to do something all day long. But is your life, is your heart, are you there? Are you there in worship? Is your life an offering to him 24/7? Do we have Saul's throne or do we have David's throne? Saul's throne was pride, fear, and self-sufficiency, and David's throne was given to worshiping God. When you need victory, start praising God. When you're depressed, start praising God. When you have needs in your life and life is hard, start praising him. And I'm not going to promise you that suddenly all your problems will vanish, but you're going to have victory in here. This is where it counts. This is where we have victory. If we're worshiping him, glory to God. I would like to ask our worship team to come back. I'd like to sing one more time that song, that new song that we sang today, Bless God. So if our team can come, make your way back. And Adam, you can find that song, Bless God. It was the second song that we did. And if you would stand with us one more time, and let's make a decision today that we're going to bless God. We're going to bless him in the sanctuary when we have plenty, when we're in the darkest valley, when our hands are empty, when it costs us, when it's costly to praise him, when nobody's watching, when we're by ourselves. Every chance. Oh, wonderful. Ah, thank you, Lord. Blessed are those who run to him, who place their hope and confidence in Jesus. Won't forsake them. Blessed are those who seek his face, bend their knee and fix their gaze on Jesus. They won't be shaken. Come and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Your voice with me, he's worthy of all our praise. Blessed are those who walk with him, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage with Jesus. They'll see his glory. Blessed are those who live to die, whose joy it is to give it all to Jesus, and for him only, oh Jesus, all for your glory, come and praise the Lord with me, sing if you love his name. God in the same.
sanctuary. Bless God in the fields of plenty. Bless God in the darkest valley. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God with the praise that costs me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when the weapons forming. Bless God when the walls are falling. Bless God cause he goes before me. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when he holds the victory. Bless God for he's always with me. Bless God for he's always worthy. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Come and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Father, help us to go forth today with rejoicing. Help us to carry your worship and your praise and your presence wherever we go. Help us, Lord, to bless you at every chance we can. Oh, that we will lift up your name. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise your name, Lord. Send us forth today with the joy of the Lord on our countenance. And help us to find people to share the good news of Jesus with, Lord. God, help us to be those light bearers, the presence of God in our community. Thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. If you're here and you would like prayer today, you heard the testimonies this morning. We serve a God that heals and delivers. If you need prayer today, someone will be here to pray with you. God bless you. Go rejoicing and take that joy to somebody else and tell them about Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Glory to your name.